I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any additions to the agenda, or is there a need for an executive session?
There's a change on the new business lease extension, Key City Fish. John Paul called and asked if he could delay that. So we'd like to take that off the agenda. He's working with his bank. He's going to ask for a 10-year extension, which we were ready to recommend that we do that. But he would like to wait and bring it back later. And under executive session, I'd like to ask for one for potential litigation. Should only be 5 minutes, no decision, just information.
Then I move to approve the agenda as modified.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda includes the approval of meeting minutes for July 10th and approval of the public workshop minutes for July 10th.
Yeah, I move we approve the consent agenda as presented.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comments. Yes, sir.
Do I have to stand there or over here? This is my first time in a new room.
If you stand up here, then it records your comments on the microphone.
Oh.
Or just use your outside voice.
Okay, Bob Sopel, 1005 Quincy, Port Townsend. Thursday night at the Yacht Club and again Sunday in the edition of the PDN. The termination of the port executive director became a public board issue. A disgruntled employee and too much delegation were the reasons given. Pretty minor things in the whole scheme of things, in my opinion. Virtually every employer has had poor employees and or disgruntled employees. This organization is not a romper room, and people are not hired to sing Kumbaya. People are hired and expected to contribute to the mission of the Port of Port Townsend by making good decisions and their assigned tasks. Actually, the same goes for tenants. Anyone who has rented property has probably had bad tenants. My experience is that the tenants who are cut the most slack are the ones who bite the hardest in the hindsight. This probably results in disgruntled tenants. Reviewing the 2013 minutes, I determined there were 7 executive sessions devoted to executive director annual review with commissioners only or an attorney present. There were 4 additional executive sessions where personnel matters were on the agenda. This gives the appearance to me of a witch hunt. No executive session stated annual executive director appraisal interview, which would be appropriate after such an extensive review process. A director flaw seriously enough to warrant helping into retirement certainly should be discussed in an interview, including steps on how to improve prior to the next appraisal. Delegation of authority, but not responsibility, is an important principle of leadership because one person cannot be expected to do everything on their own. Integrity is by far the most important principle of leadership. Spreading false information in a public forum would be an indication of the total lack of integrity. I urge you not to shoot yourself or the citizens of Jefferson County in the foot by helping an outstanding leader into retirement. Conducting a search is a crapshoot, especially when you have an outstanding person already in place. The there anybody in the room looking for a job as the executive director? Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Any further public comments? Old business. Update on the airport runway and taxi rehabilitation.
1 p.m. this afternoon, I conducted the formal bid opening for the contract to do the rehabilitation this summer. We ended up with three contractors, all out of Oregon. Jonic Construction out of Malala, Oregon. CNR Contracting out of Bend, Oregon. And Metro Northwest out of Portland, Oregon. And I've got all their bids here, and we're going to make the bid based on the base bid. There were some addendums, but we're not sure the FAA is willing to pony up for those addendums. We'll be working that out over the next week or two. So with the base bid, Metro Northwest had the lowest submitted bid, $154,687.35. The others, the next closest was Jonic at $160,000 and change. Then CNR Contracting was at $207,000 and change. So the apparent low bidder is Metro Northwest. They all had their bid bonds in order. But Randy from Reed Middleton, he's got copies of their bid packet. And Jim and I will be going through, just like we do with every contract opening, make sure all the other documents are in order.
What was the low bid number?
$154,687.35.
Really?
Yeah. But we should caution you that that is only for the runway. That's right. No taxiways, no apron. The addendums address all the other areas. So we're going to try with the FAA to do the whole job.
The other addendums, if you were to add them up, they roughly add up to $90,000, additional $90,000. So.
And if you add all the other addendums in, is that same bidder still a low bidder?
Well, it doesn't matter because we advertised that our decision would be made just on the base bid.
Okay.
Not the addendums. But the others, the addendums, are in the same ballpark except for CR. He was probably about $150,000 just for the addendums. So anyway, so we're moving ahead, and we'll bring that back. We still got some work with the FAA. They haven't released the money yet. We need to get that assurance, and then we'll bring it back to the Port Commission for the final approval of the contract. So,
what's the turnaround time on speaking with the FAA?
Well, we're going to have everything in by this Friday. You should know within hopefully next 2 weeks at most.
We're looking to do the project late September.
And I talked to the, we talked to the pilots when we were out there with the master plan a week ago about the options. You know, we think it would be about a 5-day actual closure of the runway. And obviously weather is dependent because this requires decent weather to lay the slurry coat and then the paint, follow-up painting. But the painting can be scheduled separately. And that's a far shorter time, but 5 days for the actual runway. So the option was, do we do it a Monday through Friday, or we try to do it over a weekend? And the consensus from the pilots, and I talked to the gals at the Spruce Goose yesterday, and they concurred, everybody would rather us close it Monday through Friday, because the weekend tends to be the busier time, especially if the weather's decent, more restaurant traffic, et cetera. So. Once we talk to the contractor, we'll get the exact dates and advertise that well for your report.
Any further questions, you guys?
Nope.
Ben Venus, we're canceling the discussion on the lease. The next is garbage rates under new business.
This is just kind of a heads up, no decision or anything. I don't know if the graph is, I think it's pretty readable on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some extra copies for the audience. This was put together by Al Carnes, our environmental guy. We attended a meeting about a month ago, Jim and I, with the county. They're looking hard at increasing the rates for dumping at the landfill by about 28%. It's not been approved yet by the county commission, but I am pretty sure it's going to be approved. They have not had a rate increase since 10 years now. And as we were talking before the meeting, it is an enterprise operation. It's got to pay for itself. And obviously, like everything, their costs have gone up over the 10-year period. So, but I thought as we're getting ready to get into our budget discussions, here's another cost center that's costing more and more money. And if this 28% is enacted by the county commissioners, the graph shows you by our various, you know, the Boat Haven, the Workyard, Shipyard, and Boat Haven property, the projected cost, we could be looking at upwards of $113,000 in 2014 cost. This 28% goes into effect. So
just for Boat Haven.
That's just for the Boat Haven.
So that's the increase, or that's the, it's an increase?
That would be the total cost.
So what's the cost now?
Well, if you look at the top, you don't have to.
Yeah, give us one.
Yeah, it's in the back.
We pay 73.
Oh, it's in there.
Yeah, yeah, you see 2012 was 74,561. So we're pushing another, you know, $40,000 more. And if, you know, that could impact on what we charge for, you know, other fee, environmental fees, et cetera. So.
Where do we put the garbage bill now?
Environmental.
Yeah. So we're not going to have too much of a history on that because that environmental budget's only about a year old.
Right. Yeah, we're going to put like the, with the Cotai deal, the stormwater fees that we,
that's going
to, they're
going
to go into that too.
Right. For revenue. You know,
we were looking at the stormwater fees to maintain the stormwater system. So
This is a five-year historical. You can see in 2009 it was 73. It's gone to 73.
Right, on the chart there, yeah. So that's going to also bring increased pressure on our garbage cans because people drive up in their cars and drop out their garbage here.
Right.
That's another issue that is going to need to be discussed. And
well, we've asked Al to take a look at this. We're going to sit down. It may be we need to provide a secure area that you know, we control, that outsiders can't have access to. You know, boat owners could, but you know, at nighttime we lock it up and that sort of thing. So, because you're right, you know, your average citizen, well, I'm not going to pay this. I'll just take it down to the port and leave it.
Right. Right. You won't find any other marina that I'm aware of that doesn't lock their garbage up.
Still a very open
facility. I heard an interesting term from a Boatyard user the other day that actually it was from my neighbor. He says, "You're the only port that I've ever been to that hasn't turned the place into a jail yet."
We are.
Which is what we set out to do. But this garbage thing is going to be pretty huge. And then I'm pretty sure Al's aware of the fact that we need some weather protection for our garbage cans too.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be addressed in the same.
Right. He's going through, he's got a plan, he's walking through all the enviro centers, updating those, getting new, you know, cleaning out all the oil dump stations, which haven't cleaned out forever. And he's already had one meet with DM disposal to see if we can come up with a more efficient, perhaps less expensive, you know, types of containers and where they're placed and all that. So we'll be looking at all this over the coming months. But as somebody said, county commissioners are going to wait till after the election to discuss this. So we may not know until December timeframe. Or the 28% increase takes effect.
So if they get an increase, I guess that would be the same fund that's what's funding the household hazardous waste, and so we could expect them to get back in 2 day a weekend thing.
I wouldn't go that far. So they're so far under, you know, they've had to lay off just about everybody in that department. They can't afford the salaries. So I don't know if just this would be enough to get them back into the hazardous waste enough. Well, we'll see. We can certainly ask that question, how they're going to use the money, but
we did the presentation with Richard, he said this will just get them so they won't be pulling from general fund.
Right.
This isn't.
And this will cause us to probably increase our derelict vessel fees that we charge when a vessel comes in, that's kind of question.
Oh, it's going to be much more expensive to haul them to dump.
Yeah. Yeah, if we end up with one on our hands, we've got to break it up and haul it off. So anyway, for information only, we'll see what happens and maybe something we need to look at in the budget process.
Then the next item under new business is approval of warrants.
Okay, we have an electronic debt on the amount of $9,058.10 for excise tax. And we have warrants number 51425 through 51433 for $64,696.15 for payroll and benefits. And we have, oh, it's payroll and benefits, it's combined this time. Then we have warrants number 51444 through 51492 in the amount of $519,120.85 for accounts payable. And I asked Larry if he'd have a little description, yeah. But how come that's so big?
Right. And I think
there's one more batch in there.
I was looking for it, but I didn't see a sign here. There should have been a.
Okay. We'll get that from Donna, but you did get it in Dropbox, though.
Well.
That was for the $1,600 for the mask.
Oh, it's in there because somebody that Dave saw before the meeting. That's for Greg Downey.
Maybe the original. I don't think the original is in the packet. We'll get that from Donna.
Yeah, that just happened today. This is something we'll do if we get, warrants that they're kind of out of the ordinary, at least appear that. It just so happens on this go-around, there's several, we got two big projects going. We got the building plus the commercial basin. So we got those payments going out. I'll just read through what makes up essentially 90% of the 519. There's $63,750 to Department of Commerce. It's our payment on the curb loan, which is what financed the heavy haul out. And that's the one that will be paid off in 2016. So that's our payment for this year. $170,000 to Grant Steel Buildings. $109,000 for Orion Group for Commercial Basin. And that came out of the Boat Haven Reserve. $44,500 to Reed Middleton, which was all their work they did on the taxiway to get us to the bid opening today, all the engineering for that. Another $18,000 to the State Department of Labor and Industry, which is our monthly payroll tax paid every month. It just so happens that came with these other two big projects. And then every 90 days, we have to pay Department of Revenue our leasehold tax. And this is time to pay our quarterly leasehold, which is $90,155. When you add that all up, it comes up to $497,000 of the $519,000. So some of that is, you're always going to see, like the leasehold tax every 90 days, there's going to be about a $90,000-ish. It'll vary a little bit, but once these two projects are over with, then that's a lot of that. That's beyond here anymore. So.
Now that Reed Middleton's for the airport, is that the whole thing for the master plan too, or is that not included?
No, that's the master plan was separate. Okay. This is just for the project that we did the bid opening for the slurry coat and repainting of the runway.
Does the FAA pick up any of that?
Oh,
yeah. But we have to pay and then get reimbursed from the FAA.
The tab was exactly matched up with the one in front.
Oh, it's there.
I'm not sure. I didn't look to see if it was the mask one. Is that the mask?
Yes, it is. It's the $1,000 one. Okay, I have another warrant for approval, and that's number 51493 for $1,697.50.
Very good.
Would that be approved?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Staff comments. Carolyn?
Well, I understand that the documents related to Pai Tai were recorded today.
They were. You stole my thunder.
Oh, I'm so
sorry. No, that's all right. They were recorded today. However, the lawyers, we still have to clean up the aftermath of the court case. And that you're working on, I know.
Yes, that's just a stipulated order of dismissal. Yeah. So I just wanted to let you know that was in the works.
So, when can we sign them officially?
It's all signed. You gave me the delegation when you had the special pass that resolution with the city. You gave Timmons and myself the authority to sign the documents. And Sue notarized everything, took it up to the title company a couple of days ago. And then John Watts and Eric went up today for the official closing. And I understand George Young and the Yankees that were there with cameras to memorialize the occasion. So now it'll still be a couple of days for the title company, maybe by Friday, close of business Friday. They're going to send us a packet back of all the properly reported paperwork, so we'll have it for our files. So, but it's done.
So the end of the era.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Ever since I sent the letter and June of 2000 to the city manager saying we ought to get this thing done. 13 years, what the heck?
two things. We got a certified letter from Integrated Marine. They will be moving out their facility on December 1. They had another one-year option they've chosen not to exercise. I have three potential people that want to see the space, so I'm contacting them now. And then the other thing is I'm working with the city on new signage for the city. You're going to start noticing the wayfinding project through the city adopted. And part of that is signage at Bowhaven on the street. And they're a bit confused, and I know past commissions, present commissions, we've all talked about how we want to be identified to the community. Right now we have three identities. We have the Fort Townsend Industrial Park, we have the Fort Townsend Shipyard, and we have the Bowhaven. And the question the city has, we don't need to resolve it today, is what do we want as a brand? We just want to say Bowhaven facility, or do we want to have three independent operating things? So it's something for a workshop discussion. The city is going to be providing us with drawings of the proposed signage, and we can make a decision from there on.
My initial thought was, let's just call it the Bowhaven. You know, since we have the marina, boat yard, some industrial, some commercial, just make it all inclusive. We can talk about it. Just two things. One, I had mentioned earlier, Spruce Goose at the airport, the restaurant, did have a kitchen fire this past weekend. Not a lot of damage other than the equipment, their fire suppression system, which incorporated into the hood, the vent system, worked. But they're going to have to replace a fair amount of equipment. They're going to take the opportunity, since everything's been moved out, to lay a new vinyl floor, do some repainting, etc. I talked to the owners yesterday, and they said it looks like 10 days to 2 weeks to get the equipment in, and then installation and everything. So they'll probably be down for a couple of weeks. But I told the two ladies that if there's anything the port can do, let us know and see if we can make it happen. The only other thing is WPPA, their economic development seminar, is coming up in August. And the agenda is actually looking pretty good. It's down just south of Olympia. So if you're interested, you might ask Sue about it. You can go on the WPPA website under events and click on
Hopefully it's not too late to register for that. You guys get their emails or their mail.
I think it said 1 August, so we still get another week or so. So that's all I have.
Any public comments?
I have a question about the garbage. Going back to garbage.
Sure.
You said that the rates would be going up, and that included the vessel fee. The vessel fee is
No.
Coming off.
This is for, yeah, we have the right if a vessel is, comes in for a haul out that we deem as a potential derelict. Where for whatever reason, we may not, you know, the owner, we've had this happen numerous times, where suddenly we're left with a boat. Now we've got to crunch it up and take it to the landfill, and the landfill charges us. So we charge what we estimate would be the cost to dispose of the vessel. So obviously, if the landfill rates are going to go up 20%, then that estimated cost is going to go up. It's only for potential derelicts, not for forage.
They don't pay anything for the environmental incentives?
No.
When there's a boat that's coming out to a less a shop, and you know that it's a specifically big project, this could be a removal of material, do they get charged any differently?
Well, the marine trade is working out. The marine trade is supposed to take care of their own garbage and make their own arrangements.
Okay, so what if there weren't any marine trades working?
If it's a boat owner, you know, right now we allow them to, it's supposed to be, you know, material associated with the repair of the boat, you know, and not extra stuff. It's hard to manage because, you know, we don't have enough people to stand there and guard the dumpster and stuff. And that just reminded me, Leif, you said you wanted to be reminded about eco blocks.
Yeah, I got it down here too. Commissioner's comments would be next then. Steve?
I have no commissioner comments this week.
Dave?
Oh, no comments.
The issue of eco blocks. The swimming beach down at Quilcene has an issue with the creek that runs into the beach. It's formed a big pool out in front of where you walk down to the beach from the parking lot. And we've explored it, and Jim forwarded me the procedure for applying for a permit to dig that dirt down there. And the Quilcene people that are concerned with that area are up in arms about the bureaucracy and red tape that they have to go through to do what they consider to be a simple job. And his idea of a simple job is to set eco blocks on either side of the stream to direct it out to sea. Well, an eco block takes, what do they weigh, 3,000 pounds or something?
Yeah, it depends on the size, but yeah, they're pretty heavy,
and it would take a backhoe or something. And a backhoe on the beach is something that I think you should probably try to permit before you do it. Any argument there?
One of the issues in Stacy's email was just that is a sensitive area, the stream is.
Yeah.
So diverting water in that stream.
So what would it take for us to just go ahead and apply for that permit? How much would it cost us?
Estimated between $3,000 and $5,000, about 4 months.
Are you guys familiar with this issue at all?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the body of water that creek creates.
It really happened this past winter with the storm action, just pushed more sand and gravel up and kind of made a berm across. You know, still drains out. It's fresh water. It's been tested by Department of Health. It's not potentially hazardous if, you know, some kid, you know, walks around it. It's not, we're only talking, you know.
A wading pool.
Right, not even that. You know, maybe the deepest part, 12 inches. But it is a salmon-sensitive creek. But we can certainly get the permit. The state is really not the issue here. The county is the one that wanted the 30-day CEPA review comment period, everything else. I saw the email the gentleman sent you that you forwarded to me. You know, Stacy Hoskins lives in Goldstein. She's aware of.
Well, and her husband's the CEO of the
Yacht Club. They know the beach and they know what it is. So they're aware of it, but still they're holding our feet to the fire on that.
So it would be this $3,000 to $5,000 would be a permit from the county, right?
Well, and the Fed. We're supposed to do a federal permit.
Now, we might be able to get a multi-year
Fish and Wildlife said they wanted to see what happened and monitor the first year before they would.
Before they gave us multiple years.
They commit to them.
So, guidance from either of you two fellow commissioners as to what we should do?
Well, I'm familiar with the issue, but I'm not familiar with, I haven't looked at the body of water. Is it in anybody's way?
Yes, it's in everybody's way. If it goes to the beach, you have to wade through it.
You have to wade through it to get to the beach.
Yeah.
That's the part that eluded me. I didn't know.
You could walk around. You could walk down along the riprap and back, but it's inconvenient, especially the kids that want to go out to the swim float. If you're in bare feet, it's a pretty gravelly beach, so you don't want to be walking too far on the stones. But it's right at where the trail that ends right into the pond. You know, and then you'd want to go straight through to get out to the...
And then the permit would be one issue, and then there would be an expense as to whatever we did down there.
Doesn't Herb still have a backhoe?
Well, the people from Gosling would step right up and drive their backhoe or their trackhoe or their D21 scraper or whatever they could get their hands on down on that beach and do the work. But
if the permit were available, right?
Paying the permit, they don't need it. But, you know, the person that would have to answer for that kind of behavior would be the port of Port Townsend.
Be fined for that.
Yeah, and we will be fined for that, believe you me. Did you guys see the article on the marina down in Kitsap County that the port commissioner himself went out and moved a log on the beach? And the guy that lives on the beach called the Department of Ecology on him, and he got in. He was on the news, and I don't know what kind of trouble he ended up getting in. But
which part?
I'm trying to think. It's just a little tiny one. It's got one boat ramp kind of over a bridge into the water on the beach, and that's it. That's their only shoreside facility. But I mean, that's how sensitive the beaches are. They're very sensitive.
Yeah.
We can't let the people of Quilting go down there and put eco blocks on either side.
The other thing I think most of the citizens don't understand about that beach is we don't really own the beach.
It's DNR's property.
It's DNR's property, the state's property. We only own down to the mean high water mark,
which is the berm, yeah.
So the pond is technically on our property, but as soon as you touch that berm, you're on the state property. So any excavating would be on state property.
We would have our own staff go down there. Sean,
yeah,
would take
I'd
our
want to do it. Our, if we got the permits, I'd rather do it ourselves.
Right. Okay, but still, yeah. It represents a considerable expense. I mean, that we could be spending $10,000 pretty easy, I would say.
Well, and a good southerly storm would change the topography.
Well,
down
that's
there.
The other issue. Is,
and it would be something different.
You know, it... if you're not comfortable giving direction for us to start the permitting process now, since it's not going to do anything for the summer, you know, we're already half passed through the summer, and if we're looking at 4 months, it'll be storm season again by the time we get the permits. So it might be we kind of keep an eye on it through the winter and see what it looks like come, February time frame. And if it's the same or worse, then start the permit process so we're ready for the summer. To take action then.
It would be interesting to see what that wants to develop into by itself.
Yeah, Mother Nature is trying to do something there.
Yeah.
Well, if it's not even on port property, are we even authorized to go out there and dig on DNR property anyway? I mean,
well, that's
perhaps
what
they should perhaps they should be petitioning DNR for this instead of the port.
Well, if that's what you'd like to tell the citizens of Quilting, I'll pass on.
I mean, if we can't do it, you know, because it's not our property, they...
Well, we can do it. We just need a permit.
And the permit would allow us to go on to DNR, because there's no way you can't go on DNR's property if we're going to some of that sand.
Right. I doubt that petitioning DNR would bring about any results.
Well, do you think there's any less activity down there on that beach this summer because of that?
You know, I couldn't really say.
I was down there last week and the kids were out there.
Going crazy?
I did get one phone call from a lady, I don't know her name, about 2 weeks ago. Her complaint was more about dogs off leash, that dogs and children were swimming together. And so I thought, oh my God, the horror of such a scene, that dogs and children playing, but she was serious, and I don't mean to make light of it, but she was concerned about dogs. Welcome to my world.
So I'm just looking for some help in how to address this issue with the citizens.
Well, I vote for wait to see what develops with that bond.
Because if we got a permit now, we wouldn't be able to do anything until nobody's on the beach anymore anyway. So if we let it go through the winter and see if the winter makes it bigger, then it's an obvious problem that we need to address, so we can start on it early. And if it makes it go away because it washes the beach away, then it's solved. But I mean, we could say that we're doing something now, but if we start the permit process now, by the time we be digging, I'll be sitting in front of the fire having Thanksgiving dinner.
Great. So it sounds like you guys are pretty interested in waiting out the winter and filing the permit process. Start the permit process this winter.
Well, yeah, if we see what, you know, if we see that it's getting bigger instead of littler, then yeah, that.
And maybe target February is the decision point. That still give us 4 full months before the summer season's upon us.
Okay. All right, then that's what I'll.
Because actual work, we get the permits, actual work to be talking
an
hour.
Yeah,
we could have gotten the, if we didn't have to do that 4 month wait, I would have no problem saying, send somebody after tobacco to dig a little ditch. But 4 month wait just kind of puts all of our work at the wrong time.
Well, and Mother Nature has her own ways, which we are not privy to. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
Okay. Then I'm going to adjourn this session of the commission meeting and to an executive session for 15 minutes
or potential litigation, no decision, 5 minutes.
5 minutes.